I think we've had someone else join us today. Welcome to the Grid Union call. Would you like to give your name and location?
How you doing there, Dave?
Hey.
Yes.
And where are you?
Mesa.
Mesa! Did you say Dave?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
It cut out. There was a D sound, and I wasn't sure. My phone is giving me all kinds of problems.
Yes, it is. Are you going to make an announcement? Welcome everybody on BBS Radio.
You just did. Thank you. That's a bonus in your paycheck, you know. Yeah, we'd like to welcome everybody to Sunday's Grid Healing Call. We've got people in the group calling in, checking in. You'll hear them.
Yeah.
People from all across the nation.
Hey, Donna from Great Falls is here with me, too, but she's having a smoke outside. She'll be in a second.
Oh, great.
Fantastic.
She arrived.
Yeah, she made it.
She made it. Cool.
Yep. When she comes in, I'll see if she wants to say something.
Excellent. Glad she made it there. Someone else has joined us, Sunday's Great Healing Call. If you have a chance, you please give your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Hi, Nancy in Michigan.
Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
Someone else has joined us. If you have a chance, welcome to Sunday's Great Healing Call. Please give your name and location.
This is Carolyn from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about
Great.
You?
Great. Glad to have you here with us. Someone else has joined us. If you have a chance, please give your name and location.
Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean. Welcome to our Great Healing Call again.
Thank you.
Hi, Jean.
Hi.
How are ya?
Good.
Good.
We had a couple other people join us. If you have a chance, please give your name and location.
Phil in New Orleans.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Where's your sisters today?
Oops. To other people who join us, when you have a chance, please feel free to give your name and location.
Hi, this is Mike in Westwood, Nebraska.
Hi, Nebraska. Welcome. Glad to have you. And I bet you're overcast there today, right?
Well, we're overcast. We have a real strong wind out of the north, and the wind chills in the teens.
Ah, sounds wintry.
I'm Morgan in California.
California.
Hi, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I think we've had other people join, too, and you have a chance. Feel free to give your name and location.
Martha,
hi. This is Dave in Indiana. How are you doing, Martha?
Hi, good. How are you?
Glad to have you on the call. It's been great. Everybody's having a great time. It's a Christmas party early.
Oh, wonderful.
I think we may have had other people join us. If you have a chance, please feel free to give your name and location.
Yeah, hi, it's Jere from Finland. How are you?
Oh, from Finland. Hi,
whoa.
Glad to have you.
Swomi.
Yes. And I think we've had other people join us. When you have a chance, please feel free to give your name and location.
Hi, this is Donna from Kingman.
Donna, Dave here. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Glad to have you here today.
The phone line called in, and he said, give your name and your location. He said, Zetland or something.
We have other people join us. Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing Call. When you have a chance, please give your name and location.
California.
Wow, about three or four people at that time. Welcome to you all. Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing Call. Please give your name and location.
Deb, Los Angeles.
Say welcome. Glad to have you again today.
Somebody.
No.
Or are they
muted? Hi, welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing Call. When you have a chance, please give me a location.
Oh, somebody crunching paper.
Yeah. Is that dog with the peanut butter again, the Terry nose? So how is the sound on your phone so far, Marilyn?
Very good.
Is it?
Yes,
hi, welcome to Sunday's Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing Call. If you have a chance, please give your name and location.
Joel in Chicago.
Jim Pratt.
Oh.
Hawaii.
Oh, welcome.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
We don't need
Bob from Chico, California.
Welcome,
Hi, Bob.
Glad to have you. What a great time.
She's
with
the
crew in Hawaii. Yeah.
Where's our regular collection greeter?
Well, he is off hosting a soccer team for his children today, playing parents.
Woo-hoo.
Had several people join us. Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing Call. If you have a chance, please put your name and location.
Mel from England. Hi, everybody. Marvelous.
Hi, Mel. Glad to have you again.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great to be with everybody.
Same here.
Welcome.
Glad you're here.
Good
we
morning.
Have several other...
Good Hi. Morning.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Carolyn, and I'm calling from Sacramento.
Oh,
Hi,
welcome. Thanks for being here.
You landed in the States, huh?
Yeah, I'm back. I made it.
Good for you.
Oh, here we go. Marilyn, I'm losing the sound. I think you're going to have to take over. I'm just getting garbled.
Okay, a lot of people are joining us. Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing. Please say your name and location when you get a chance.
Don from South Florida.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
Thank you.
Michael Ramirez, Waterbury.
Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Hello. Good morning. Jess is calling from Boston, California.
Hello and welcome, California.
Hi, Jim from Minnesota.
Who wants to brag about the weather?
I think the guy in Hawaii wins.
Yeah, I'll go here.
Yeah, boring 86 and sunny every day.
Yeah. Welcome, everyone, to Sunday's Grid Healing. Please say your name and location when you get a chance.
Hi, Lori from Stone.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Lori. Welcome. I didn't hear the next lady.
Yvonne from Florida. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Yvonne.
Good morning. Good.
What is the host thing? What is the host thing?
This is Marilyn in Michigan right now, and we also have Dave in Indiana. Hype is doing his fatherly duties today with his children.
Good morning, Marilyn. This is Horace from London, Ontario, Canada.
Horace, I'm so glad to hear you. How are you, dear?
Yes, I'm recovering, but everything is getting better. Thank you.
Oh, I've missed talking to you.
Hi, Horace and Judy. It's Jan from Ontario.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan.
Do they not do the breakaway calls anymore? I haven't heard that.
We haven't been doing those.
We haven't been doing them.
Oh, there's Lynn!
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I hate it when people get excited when they hear my voice.
Some obligation tied to that. Answer.
That might change.
I mean, I don't say I ever make an exception. I might make exceptions occasionally. Good morning, everybody.
Are you not on the radio?
I should be.
Oh, I haven't been able to get you, so I finally called.
Oh, let me see what's going on here.
Well, we're hooked up with BBS, but they're having problems with the lines, Wynn.
They are?
No.
Yeah, they've been having problems for days.
No, everything is good here for you.
It's good, Don? Okay.
That's Doug. Don't mix the two up. Just because they're twins.
I swear they are.
They're quite different.
Morning, Zoe. From
okay.
Good morning,
to everybody on the
show.
Yes.
Hi, Zoe.
Do we have Terry here?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Hi, Jerry. Hi. Hi.
We have more people joining us. Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing. Please say your name and location when you get a chance.
Good morning. This is Michael, San Diego.
Hi, Michael.
Morning, Aloha. Aloha. This is Gina from Oahu, Hawaii.
Hello, Gina. Welcome.
Hi, Gina.
Hi. Thank you, guys.
Gina, when was the last time you saw a dolphin?
Yesterday.
Right.
And, and the dolphin was talking to me because I saw the bubble cream come out of the blowhole. Came right by.
What was he saying?
Right back.
I don't have a speech.
No, but I talked
fish.
Right back.
Give me more fish.
Yeah. Feed me.
Right back.
Feed me.
You were very good news.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
We are going to start, and I'm going to mute everybody just a moment. All right. Everyone's muted. And we're going to, and Terry, you're still there, right?
I'm here.
All right.
This conference is being recorded.
This is September 9th, 2012.
No.
Hi, Susan from California.
No, it's December 9th. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
How come you're not muted? How did you get in? All right, now I got
to said announce yourself.
Hang on. All right. We welcome everyone who's listening on BBS, everyone who's listening on replays, everyone that showed up to our Sunday planetary healing. Terry, did you yawn just now?
Oh, yeah, I'm still waking up because I got up at I got up at 4, like, or 3:30 or something.
Well, didn't they tell you at Mute University that you're supposed to mute when you yawn?
I got that point.
All right. Well, you know, what's great about our Sunday calls, all our calls, but our Sunday calls, it's how we can come as we are, and there's no pretense. There's no exaltation. And during the course of the call, something happens magically. And it's like we get on a train, and it happens for me as well as it happens for you. I'm just as much a participant as I am a facilitator. And it's kind of a learning how energies work, if you're experiencing that. I remember when I was young, and I used to read about enlightenment, and that one day you would arrive somewhere and be enlightened, enlightened. It's like always full of light. And I had that image that if you did everything right and you learned your lessons, you would walk around and everything, you would just be glowing with energy and everybody would love you. And now Terry has arrived at that state, except when she's up till 4 a.m. Not really. No. Everyone, all of us are, it's always a state of flow. There is no end point. Can you realize that? And it's each of us has a way to move into a greater state of flow than we're in now. What do you need to do to move into that? And another way you could say flow is etc. Because there's no end point. There's no beginning. There's no end. It's just being in a flow. And, you know, I used the image of being on a train before. And if you can imagine, when you're on a train, it doesn't seem like you're moving. You're sitting in the seat and you can walk around. And yet you are moving. The train is flowing through the physical realm and you're on that flow of being on the train. So when you're in a flow, it's not like you're in a river and you experience it. It's like being on a train, sitting there, but things are moving. Instead of feeling like they're not. And it's a very subtle differentiation, because unless you look out the window on a train or you feel the rumbling of the wheels on the tracks, your perception is that you're sitting still. So how do you get into a higher state of flow? Well, we do it every Sunday. We all move together. We don't even have to walk out the door. We move together. We move our consciousnesses. We bring energies together. And suddenly, let me just see here. Let me mute. Who is that? And suddenly, there's a shift in our consciousness. And it feels good. It feels uplifting. We feel open. And most of the time, most of us, even me, go back to a different, slower moving space. And we're learning one of the things about getting into flow is that it helps other people. Other people help, but other people in the right way. We're using each other, but we're using each other in a way that's not negative. It's all free will. We're using each other by showing up and contributing our energies into this great melting pot. And that when the energies combine, something shifts. Now, why does that occur? Well, this is my opinion. I'm not channeling. I didn't ask this question, but this is just from my own awareness. We often talk about our matrix and our energy field, which extends from our physical location, where we are right now, outward, and theoretically goes back potentially to source. And most of us have a certain contraction in our fields. And when our energy is contracted, it has distortions in it. It has traumas. It has things from past lifetimes. It has hurts. It's got all the things that oftentimes shift during this call. And your distortions are different than my distortions and Terry's distortions. Each of us has unique, completely unique distortions because we have different experiences. And so our distortions are based on our track, our different experiences. And we hit our head against the wall, we look at our limitations, we go to therapists, we go to healers. And so often, those distortions come back. And you think you cleared something, and it comes back. Now, why is it when we come together that it's so powerful? And what I think what I think, or and how I think of the way it works, is that since all of our distortions are different, when we allow ourselves to create a group energy, then our energies combine in such a way that the distortions can lift. They can dissipate for this moment because of the way we're co-creating. In other words, if I'm around somebody that doesn't have my distortion and we're connecting, they're going to help, their energy is going to help me learn how to take it in so my own distortion will dissipate. And then it'll come back and then it'll dissipate. And over a period of time, when you do this, there's the potential for the distortion to just go away. It just disappears. You've retrained your field. And of course, we have our group souls coming into this as well. And so they add their energy to our mix, and it becomes a huge powerhouse for transmuting our distortions. And they'll come back, but then they get transmuted. And they'll come back, and then they'll get transmuted. And eventually, every time they come back, they'll be a little weaker. And more over time, you will get to hold the space of clearing those negative patterns that seem so overwhelming when you're in the middle of them. So that's what I think happens on this call. And it happens on your life, in your life. In fact, it happens every time a group comes together. That's why Jesus said, when two or more are gathered, I am also present. I'm looking at it from another angle. From when two or more are gathered at a high purpose, their energies, because they have different distortions, work to heal each other. And the more you can participate in that, the faster this process goes. And the thing is, it's not a surrender to come into group. Well, it is, you can use the word surrender. It's not a capitulation to participate in group energy. Because it's free will, it's a coming and going and coming and going and coming and going and learning how to clear your own space over time. And it's something that you can't do with your mind, no matter how much you know, no matter how much you know, understand all of this work, your mind doesn't clear those distortions. But your mind can learn to observe. You can train yourself to observe your distortions. And by the simple process of observing, you start a whole nother technique for releasing your distortions. Because you first have to know, you don't have to know. When you come into these calls, you don't have to know what the distortions are. You just know that you feel better after the call. But as you're working in your real life, it helps greatly to know what the distortions are, to be honest with yourself. And to be honest with yourself, your ego will block you from being honest with yourself, because your ego will say you've arrived somewhere, you're great, and you can go along on that energy so long until you crash again, and you say, how did that happen? So the idea is to get into a state where you have the discernment to observe yourself, to know what's going on, to be patient, patience, and look at the things that create transformation. You know, creating group energy doesn't mean you have to come into a conference hall. You can create group energy by sitting in a coffee shop. I mean, I've done that many, many times. You can unconditionally send love into a room, and other people can feel that, and you can feel them feeling it, and you can lift the vibration of that room, but you won't get any credit for it because no one will know you're doing it except you and God. So that's a way that you can experiment with this idea of group energy. And you know, if you're in a living situation where you have other people around you, you know, it's interesting, living situations, we had a conversation with the sources on this. You know, there's a kind of love that goes in with living situations. And it's usually always there, and it's not bad, but it's different. And it's like you can move the situation. It doesn't have to stay there, and it can move in and out. But you could call the kind of love tribal. And tribal love is like taking care of your family and your children and your relatives and your clan. And even if you have a religious affiliation, people take care of each other. It's based on survival. And again, survival is important. So we're not going to discard the value of it. But tribal love is not the same as unconditional love. Because unconditional love goes beyond that. And tribal love is underneath that. So you can look at your own situation and know, don't mistake tribal love for unconditional love. Understand it for what it is, and not to discard it, because we need to be taken care of. We need to survive, and tribal love connects with that. But how do you move tribal love into higher love? How do you move that? There was a book called The Little Prince, and I think that if you can get your tribe, your partners, and this is not easy, but I'm just telling you, and, you know, if you can look in the same direction instead of at each other all the time, if you have projects or anything that you do that is based on unconditional love. Like, suppose you took your wife on Thanksgiving and said, let's go help the homeless and feed them, support the local church when they're giving out turkey. Let's volunteer. Well, that turns the tribal love into a higher love. And if the energies are right, both of you will feel the shift, and something will shift in your relationship for the better, if you can do it. You can't always do it. If you and your partner are coming on these calls together, and you have a conscious awareness that by being here, you're helping to lift the vibration of Earth, and you have that sense of service, and you both know it, well, now you're looking in the same direction, and it changes the nature of your connection for a certain amount of time, and if it, you know, maybe permanently, your relationship becomes like, how do we use our connection to be of service? Because a couple has a lot of power, oftentimes more than an individual, because they give each other strength, and then they turn that strength outwards, and they can do things. They can resist more negative stuff that comes in the world because they give each other an inner support. Well, you know, it's all a big puzzle, and each person has to figure it out. You know, there's no answer. There's no rule that I can say, everybody does this, everybody does that. But I observe myself very carefully, and I observe my patterns, and I observe the people around me, and I think this is the way it works, the way I'm sharing it with you. And it's each person has to create their way of manifesting it, making it real in their life. And how do we take into consideration this connection with these group souls? Okay, one of the things that these calls are founded on, started with, is the fact that there are voices talking to me that say they created the universe. And when you first hear that, and you believe it might be true, how do you use that in such a way to benefit your own life? How does that interaction work? Well, in careful observation over many years now, what I see, the way that I see that it works, is, first of all, here's the way it doesn't work. Okay, please do this for me. Please do that for me. I need this. Heal me now. Do this. And everything changes. That's not the way that it works. You know, this idea of group energy coming into the calls and where we heal each other through a melding of our energies, same principle with these higher forces. It's a group energy. And what we have been learning how to do, now you see, on this call, we can tell you that there's this many people on the call. Everyone says hello when they're on the call. Not everyone, but many people. We know there's people on the call. All of our understanding of how the physical universe works has proven to us, if we hear people saying hello, that they're there. Well, now we have these invisible beings, and they talk through Terry, and we have to come to the conclusion that Terry's not crazy and that Wynn's not crazy. And the only way you can come to that conclusion is listen to their messages repetitively and try to say, could Terry make that up? Where is that intelligence coming from? And then you have to say, what is it all pointing towards? What are we learning from what they're saying? Where is it going, and do you trust it? Very important, do you trust it? Because you have to be absolutely sure there is no agenda on their part, that they're not tricking us, that they have something in mind they're not telling us about. And you have to listen to the calls with the scrutiny to figure that out. Not to just come in the call and say, oh, my God, Wynn's talking to the Elohim, and they created the physical universe, and they've been God in the Old Testament. Help! That's what some people do. And you know what? You haven't made the connection. You are believing in it because someone else believes in it. If Oprah said Winfrey is talking to the Elohim, we'd suddenly have a million people on the call believing it must be true because Oprah said it. And they would have to go through the same changes. They're not going to get it right away. They're not. There's a period, an incubation period that people have to go through to get this, to understand it, to make it work. But it is working. So many people email me, and I know they're being real, and I know they're being sincere, and they're getting it. So the idea is we can kind of know, some of us, maybe you've never thought about this, but some of us know what it feels like to have a group energy with someone else. I mean, I don't believe you've ever could have had sex with anybody and not had a group energy with that person you were making love to. And you sat in a room, you sat in a music concert, you've been with your friends, and many times you're in group energy. And in these calls, it's incredible because we have group energy and, you know, no physical, other than picking up a telephone or turning on your computer, there's no interaction. We don't see each other, and we hear the people that come on the call say hello at the beginning. And so now we're saying, how can you have group energy with something that's invisible, that you can't know that it's there? And I think you could say, well, how about faith? Well, that's a good start, faith. And the other thing is, let's examine this material. Let's read the books. Let's see what goes on. Because once you get it, you get it. And if you can create group energy with these higher sources, and you can bring them in, and you can know how to bring that energy in, you can speed up your evolution. Because even if you don't have group energy in a high sense with anyone else in your life, you can't have group energy with them. And that will, how would I say it? You don't feel lonely. You know they're watching you. You call them in, you can feel energies around you. And that is an awesome thing to experience. So one of the things on this call is to create group energies for our healing, for our own benefit. And when you get the group energy of these group souls working with you, what happens is things can transform much quicker. And many of you have learned that. Let's look at how that works, because oftentimes we dismiss it to a miracle. And it's only a miracle because it violates the rules of this realm, but it doesn't violate the rules of the higher realms. And it would be, you know, sometimes I use the analogy of ice, water, and steam as being analogous, nope, I didn't say it right, comparable to different dimensions, i.e., the ice would be like the physical realm, and the steam would be, the water would be a higher dimension, and the steam would be even a higher dimension. So, to give an example of that, let's suppose you put a piece of ice in a strainer. Well, the ice will just stay on top of all the wire grids. It doesn't go through the strainer. But if you put water in a strainer, it goes right through. And of course, if you put steam even goes through smaller degrees of material. So, for example, let's suppose you had a tightly woven fabric and you poured water in it. The water may just drip, 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 but if you put steam on it, it would go right through. Why do they have steam in a iron? Because it goes through the material. Well, this is kind of analogous, and now I'm not saying that word, analogous, that's it, to higher dimensions in the earth. We're like ice, and the Elohim Ra might be like steam. So steam can do things that ice can't. It can move into crevices. It can get in between cracks, and it can it doesn't have a structure. It's not structured. It's just loose. It's just, you know, it's steam. It just spreads out, flows out. And Elohim Ra are kind of more similar to steam in that they can move around and there's no limitations to the way their energy moves. And when we co-create with them, then that steam is flowing in to the water and the rock, and it gets in between the cracks, and suddenly we're in a relationship with those intelligences. That's how miracles occur, by letting that steam into the space. And in spite of everything, if your energies are so clenched up and you want a miracle, your energies are too tight for the steam to get through. So you have to start the process by loosening the energies up, loosening things up inside, not being rigid in your beliefs, being open-minded. And I'd like to believe that coming into these calls helps that process so that we create a little more space so there's room for those energies to come in, because they don't have the limitations we do. They can move into the cracks and crevices of our energy fields, of our bodies, of our weapons. And that's what we're doing on this call, learning how to open the space up so those energies from the higher realms can come in and co-create with us. And it is a co-creation. They're not bossy. They don't do things themselves. I mean, they're not like saying, I don't know exactly what they do. So don't take that as gospel truth. But I do know, in terms of the relationships, it's practice. When you start to meditate and you can release some of the rigidity inside of you and you create more space, you create the space for them to come in. They need space to come in. If there's no space, they can't enter. And when you want them to work with you, you need to learn how to create space. Space so that your consciousness is not filled with trauma, desperation, fear, anxiety, all those things. They take up all the space. And there's no room for the energies of the higher realms to come in. So no matter what your circumstance is, inside of it, you can be free of the circumstance, at least for given moments during the day. Maybe you have overwhelming things crashing on your head, and many of us do right now. How do I make a living? My wife's sick. This is happening. But no matter what is happening, find some time to get detached from the circumstances, from the fear, the anxiety, and create some space. Create some space so the energies have room to flow. You know, when I was in kind of one of my developmental stages, which I still am. This is still developmental. It's like I'm learning as I go. But Terry and I gave a talk in Las Vegas at on a television show that another person who channeled, named Steve Rother, did once a month, and we were invited to be his guests. And actually, I was invited, and he invited Terry up, and she became part, and she was talking. But the woman who was hosting that, who was interviewing us, it was not the guy who was the channel, not Steve, but somebody was interviewing us, invited us to her home that night for dinner. And I found out that she invited a bunch of her friends, and it was catered, and I couldn't get out of it. Normally, I would not like, I don't like those events. Normally, I feel constrained, like, on the spot, but we went, and it was very nice. And after dinner, she said she had this meditation room, and would we go up into it and bring the Elohim energies into that room. I think this was about 4 years ago. So Terry and I and all her friends went into that room, and I believe this was prior to Terry ever channeling publicly, ever channeling on a conference call. And I mean, you all know by now, Terry is very shy, very reserved, and very highly intended. And we were sitting in the room, and this woman had all her friends, and all her friends were metaphysical people, and all of them had different talents. So she went to one person and said, okay, we're ready for Saint Germain. I don't know if it was somebody like that. And then the next person, this is John. He has connections with the Indian elders. And John did some kind of chant. And then the next person, finally they went through about six or seven people. And they came to me and they said, okay, we're ready for the Elohim. And I said, duh. Well, I took some transcripts of some of the channelings. And I said, listen, their energy comes in when I read this. Let me read this. And I started reading them. And somebody interrupted. And they said, no, we want the real thing. Come on. And Terry was next to me. And I looked at her and I said, are they saying anything? And she looked back at me and she said, they're saying that there were too many different energies in the room, and there was no room for them. And that was the channeling. And it was very funny, because you see, the other beings that other people were bringing in from the other realms were attached to the energy of the recognition they were getting in this realm. And they don't want something that's going to distract the energy that they're getting. And they don't know this on a conscious level. They don't think about it. So there was no room energetically in the space for the high sources to come in. And I learned a huge amount. I thought about that. Oh, my God, I'm starting to see how this works. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, those of you that are paying attention over time, I know that you recognize legitimacy of it, of what we're doing, and you're getting a lot out of it. And I think when I first started doing this, I was thinking that we would really be embraced by all the New Age stuff. I identified with being New Age, and you know, all the other people who are on spiritual paths. And I said, I think this is what they're all looking for. And I went around, knocked on lots of doors, showed up lots of places, and nobody was embracing it. Nobody was embracing the work. Very little. And I realized it was the same principle. People are putting things out into the world, and they're attached to the recognition of it. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying how it works. They're attached to the recognition. And they won't let, energetically, this kind of stuff get through their filter, their strainer. The strainer is too thick to let it through, because in their mind, it would take something away from them. It's exactly the same reason that the ARE, the Edgar Cayce Institute, in Newport, not Newport Beach, Virginia Beach, wouldn't recognize David Wilcock. In fact, according to David, they said he heard the gossip was that even if he was Edgar Cayce, we couldn't recognize him. And because they were already structured, there wasn't room for something that big and that new to be recognized there. Well, this is an important principle when you want to make a difference in the world. You can't do it by rattling people's cages and trying to break through their ice. You have to be steam, and you have to look where there's flow, where the steam can flow. And you have to take risks, because you're breaking down people's reality systems. A lot of people don't like that. They don't want that. They're scared of it. They've got their security in their reality system. They've got their tribe. And you know, on the most basic level, survival is the prime instinct in the physical realm. So I hope that helps understand how these energies work. Because on these calls, what's happening is we are all becoming a little bit thinner in our energies and open, so the energies from the higher realms can seep in. And when they seep in, many of you feel it. And when you start co-creating with it, what is co-creation? It means they're not doing it. We're doing it. They can help, but we need to put our energy in the mix, okay? And I'm looking at our healing list here, and we have, I'll just mention some names, just first names, people I'm reading down the list. And, you know, I said all this because all you people who are putting things in the healing list, I'm explaining to you the mechanism by which this works. Now, you know, I just gave a sophisticated, very sophisticated explanation for prayer, okay? And on the most simplest level, people don't have to understand it. They can do it, and the energies will flow. And for many of us, the understanding of it can help it flow easier. So we just take, as I say these people's names, let us just put it into that group energy, into the field, and the people can open up their own levels of rigidity to let these energies flow through them. We have Susan in L.A. for her immune system. We have Pat in Sedona, who asks for the light to be sent to her friend who is sick. And we have Pat in, now this is, I wonder, Sham, oh, another country. Understanding relationships. Michael in San Diego, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, free internet, Constitution of the U.S. Anne in Connecticut. Option to work from home during adverse weather conditions. Anne, email me. I got to remember her. Maybe we have a home job. She's done corporate stuff. And, you know, our other businesses are getting more successful. And we stay in touch. Anne in Fremont. And we're sending energy. Now, I know Aunt Anna. I know she lives on an email exchange, and I know she feels energy. So we're going to send energy to all those issues that you're working with. I hope you listen to this. Jerry in Finland. Remembering who he really is. And connecting with his authentic self. Annette, in New York City. Healing of multiple sclerosis. Irene, in New York City. Sends a light to her daughter who has a traumatic brain injury. Jerry in Finland puts the individual and collective ascension and opening of the hearts into the highest love, light, so that we can move this shift in consciousness in the most graceful and joyful ways for the highest good of all. Well put, Jerry. Thank you. Christian in Littleton, Colorado, for his nephew who is sick. And let's see, Laura just her trip, all her issues, all the things she's requested. And that's all I'm going to do this Sunday morning. And those of you who are aware or listening, we do have this healing list. And you can make submission to it by going to this webpage, in the light, that's what I have to remember, and then our web address, intelligent-infinity.com, inthelight.intelligent-infinity.com. And then when you do that, let me explain how this works. You automatically end up on this other page, which is the web page of all the requests. And it has your name, doesn't have your phone number, it doesn't have your email, but it has your name and what you're asking. And that page is healing.intelligent-infinity.com. Healing.intelligent-infinity.com. So, in the light and healing. Now, also, many of you have discovered this, and I'll just say it once again, because it seems to be working. There is an energy on these calls, and the energy on these calls helps to flow through your rigidity. And that we have a website where we have at this point hundreds of audios of these calls, and that people are telling me that they're listening, they're turning off their television, they have it in the background when they're cooking dinner, and they're playing these calls, and it's helping to keep them lifted above all of the distortions and, of course, all the things that are going on in the world, which can so easily create fear. And so take advantage of it. At least try it. Try it. You know, instead of, you know, in the evening, lay down, go to the website, play a few of the calls, as many as you want. And it's at www.healing.intelligent-infinity.com. thespiritchannel.net and see if it works for you. You know, just do things as experiments, just as I do. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, don't do it. And another thing about the calls is that there is a lot of wise information coming through. And you never know when that one sentence is going to come through that is going to be just the thing you need to hear to release something, to untrigger something. And so by listening to these calls, you increase your chances of finding those sentences. You know, I just had an email from Janny in Canada, and I think I can say this. It's just helpful to other people. An email from Janny where she said, I said something that really impacted her. And she's been coming to the calls for quite some time. And yet, one little sentence she kept thinking about and thinking about. Now, you know, I used to be the same way. That when I was younger, I would go to different teachers. And, like, little sentences would just stick in my mind. And I could keep contemplating them. And eventually, it helped me grow tremendously. So, when you hear wisdom, where someone else says just the right thing, it changes you. It's the beginning of a change. You don't feel alone. You know, we just got a couple more people are listening, and they asked to put some things in the light as we're talking. And if I didn't say your name, keep in mind we're going to have a couple of opportunities in this call to do it silently so that the universe is paying attention to you on this call. And you can think things, and you're heard. But Gigi in Reno, and Gigi, I like your email, Rainbow Bright. I'm not going to say the rest, but just having serious depressions, and we put those in the light. And Gigi, I don't know, we get a lot of people who get our pendants that believe that it's helped them, okay? So they're so cheap, it's worth trying, in my opinion. So then we have another one here from, hang on. Robin in Tustin is asking for healing for a lot of her physical issues. Paul in Boise, financial gain, abundance. Hey, for those of you that are listening and are working through abundance issues, you know, something came up on a Monday call a week ago, 2 weeks ago, where I was going, this was years ago. This was an experience I had before I ever did any of these, I mean, anything like I'm doing now. And I was going into a post office. And there was a fellow who was panhandling, and he really looked down and out. And I gave him a dollar, and I said, listen, put this in your back pocket and don't spend it. Start smiling at people and give them some love and use this as your lucky dollar. And so he put it in his back pocket, and I forgot about it. And then 2 or 3 months later, I was at the same post office, and I'm walking into the post office, and this fairly smelly guy suddenly sees me, and he comes up and hugs me crazily And I said, what's going on here? Am I being accosted? And then he said, don't you remember you gave me that dollar? I can't tell you how much it meant to me. And that night, after you gave me the dollar, I collected $20. Everyone was giving me money, and it's never stopped ever since then. So I was telling that story on a Monday night, and I said, well, why don't I tell people that are going through financial struggles to send a request in, and we'll send them a dollar, and Terry and I will both sign it and try to put some positive energy into it. And I said it low-key, and we had five or six people made a request. And I said, you know, I better be careful with this one, because we have a lot of people on our list, and we could go broke quick. So then I got an idea, and I said, what we did is when we sent the dollar out, I said, let's make it so it's something they can put on their wall. We mount it on a piece of paper. We have a little prayer for abundance on it. And now, I don't know if this is going to work, but we did it. I said, I bet a lot of people would like this. I said, we haven't done this. You're the first group I've talked to this about. Why don't we send these out with a stamped envelope back to us? And have people send something back, either a quarter, a nickel, or $100. But the deal is you have to put the envelope back and send it back to us. And that will create a flow of energy. That's my theory. And maybe enough people will send more than we sent them so we can afford to do this for more people. And so I'm telling you guys this, and Terry will get mad. He says, we've got all these envelopes to address, but you might try it. Just make a request, send us a dollar, but now we're going to send an envelope. So you have to send the envelope back to us. So you can send a quarter, you can send a nickel, you could send a penny, you could send a letter that says we really appreciate the work you're doing, or however you want to put it in your own words, but send it back to us. So now there's a co-creation. You see how it works? The energy is flowing back and forth, and I think that may help shift some of the energies for some of you who feel stuck financially. There. Okay, now on that, I'm going to go into our meditation, our Sunday meditation, and I hope I didn't talk too long, but I got on a roll, and I didn't feel I lost the energy, and I hope I brought some things up that you find helpful. So what we're going to do is, geez, I got to remember how to do this. put our feet flat on the ground, so our soles are flat, with our shoes off, and or on your bed. If you're on your bed, crack your knees. And this is a guided visualization to learn how to expand your energies into the greater universe and into the earth. There's this idea that the universe is one energy, and we are all tiny cells in that energy, and you could call that one energy God or the one infinite creator, and we make it up. But in this realm on earth, we've lost the ability to have the direct connection with all that is. Most of us have lost it. And so we feel alienated, isolated, separated, lonely, and you all know those experiences. And when you start to learn how to open your energies up and you hold that, your physical experience will change. You'll attract different things to you. You will have synchronicities. Synchronicities are events that look like miracles, but they're not miracles. They're the way the universe works. They look like coincidences. And, you know, there's always a mystery to it. Was that a coincidence, or was that real? But let me see here. Just a second. Seems to me we're getting some noise on the line. All right. I'm muting that person. So the goal here is to expand your energy into the experience of oneness or connection, and that by doing that, and as you learn how to hold the space, you'll attract new things to you, different things that can be the things that you really want to happen for you. And even healings can happen. But just remember that you have to be part of the healing. And when you connect your energies up, we're the ice and we're connecting it up to the steam. And when the steam can, when you get your ice a little bit more malleable, the steam can come through and things can happen. So we see the energy of the earth go from the center of the earth, through our floor, and into our feet. And you might feel a tingling in your feet. We're starting out with the earth through our feet, through our legs, it's like a finger of energy coming up through the earth. And let's, while we're here with the earth, let's just tell the earth that we love her and to thank her for supporting us for all these millenniums of lifetime we've had and coping with all the ways that humans have abused the earth and hurt her. And so we move through our legs, through our solar plexus, through our chest. Do you see how it's getting lighter already? Through our neck, up to our head. And this is just a connection with the earth. Let's move through the top of our head and go 1 foot above our head. Now we're still in our body, we're still connected to the earth, but we're just putting our attention above our head. And we're going to go up to the ceiling. Now, some of you could feel that your energy that's emanating from your body is filling your entire room. You're projecting and filling the room. You're not just in your body. You're in the room. And you're going to pop through the ceiling. And you're going to move to the rooms above you, if you have them. Otherwise, you're going to go through the roof. And now, you're in the sky. So you can see this visually, like there's this stream of energy coming up from the earth, through your body, through the top of your head, and suddenly it's like, wham, you're moving through time and space, and you're in the sky. And you keep moving. And around our planet, there's this thing called a veil that keeps us contained, that keeps us contracted, that keeps our energies pushed in, that keeps us from remembering things. we are going to, like, pop through the veil. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to instantly remember all your past lives. But it does mean that we can move and feel our energy, and we're going to keep moving to the place where we just started, where we just individuated. Do you know, at some point, you as an individuated soul didn't exist. And you were part of this amorphous light field of energy. And at a certain point, you individuated and you had an awareness. And you started out and you merged with a physical body. And then you had a series of lifetimes. And then you went, got traumatized. You made mistakes. You got hurt. You got in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it got lodged into that energy field. And it stuck. And now we're going back before any of that happened. And at some point, every single person on this line did not exist as an individuated soul. And there was a point where we all individuated. And did you know there was no such thing as time? That time was just an illusion so we could experience this thing we call life. Well, if there's no such thing as time, we're going back to that place when we just individuated, and all of our past lives, everything exists right now. But we're going back to the first cause, and we're joining together. We're not losing ourselves. We're just on the edge of that individuation. When you were innocent, when you were new, when you just were formed, and you started discovering the physical realm and the people and learning and getting caught up. Well, if we're all at that point at the same time, we're in a group energy. We've combined our energies at that point of individuation. We're just on the edge of where we didn't exist and we did exist, and everybody was part of that amorphous pool of white light. And just by saying this, this is what I learned. The amazing thing I learned is that I had the ability to say this, and it would happen, and people would experience it. So as we become one, you can feel those shifts happening in your body. Your body starts getting lighter, the energy starts becoming thinner, the energy starts to flow. We're creating a flow from those realms into your body. And we're going to invite our group souls. Keep in mind, at one point they didn't exist. I don't think they existed at one point, and then somehow they individuated. And so we're all meeting at that point of first cause, first individuation. And feel how it feels to connect that with your physical body. Feels good, yeah. Now, this is what I was talking about earlier, when you have the experience of being over your distortions. And they'll come back, but relish the experience as it moves through you. Because over time, you'll conquer them. Because we're creating an energy flow from the point of your creation through all your distortions. You're creating that flow by participating in this. And that starts the beginning
of the releasing of the energies of those distortions. And now we are projecting into other dimensions. We are above the veil, and your body can feel shifts. You can feel energies moving in it. We're going to bring the energy back down like a little thread through this oneness, through this first cause. We're going to bring it back down through the sky, through the clouds, through the veil that surrounds our earth, and through your rooftop, and through your ceiling, and into the top of your head. Some of you are noticing the energy in the top of your head, and it's really expansive. And we're going to move this energy down through your body, and we're going to let it find, and you can help direct it, those areas where you're blocked, where the energy is blocked, and you know where they are. It's clenched, it's hurt, it's lonely. Let them flow into that. Some of you can feel this energy band around your third eye and the top of your head. You'd never felt it before, and you're feeling it. You have made connection. You are co-creating right now with all of us in the universe. Now, in this moment of co-creation, I want you to think the things that you want to put in light. And they say they can read our thoughts, but they don't violate our free will. So we have to say, well, okay, it's okay if you guys hear us, hear me, and let, just think it, just imagine that you're being paid attention to, and put all those things that you want to shift into this field right now. And put all those things for our planet. We're going to do a planetary meditation shortly, but put all those things for the planet that you'd like to see occur. Now keep in mind, there's a lot of resistance on the planet. There's a lot of negative forces that are doing counter intentions to our intentions. And you know, the way our sources have explained it is that they look at the planet as one being, and all the humans making up it as little cells in that being. And they're looking at where the teeter point is from positive to negative, which gives them more permission to do interventions here. So ask for their help. And by the way, when they take a vote of where the energies are, it's not like, well, there's 100 people negative here and there's like 75 people positive here, so the negative wins. It's not based on numbers of people. It's based on the power of the intent of the people. So one person can vote, hold the vote for perhaps 1,000 or 5,000 if their intent is high. Because most people do not have good ability to create intentions. They're followers. And those people are not voting. Do you realize that? They're voting by being not voting, but they're not negative, they're not positive. They're just followers. So a small group of people with a very high intent is extremely powerful. And so we'll move this energy into our heart, and in particular, we always do a releasing of energies from the heart, because the heart is what holds so many things in it that bring us down. Resentments, hurts, betrayals, things we've done, things that have been done to us, and things you don't even know about from past lives. They linger from lifetime to lifetime. And if there's anything you can find in your heart that's of those kinds of natures, surround it with this energy and let it go. And forgive yourself, and do, you know, make sure you include yourself. Some people, when I do this, they end up crying, and that's okay, because crying is a release. It helps to release the energies. And we move into our solar plexus, power, feel the energy there, radiating into the space. It keeps people from messing with you. Apparently, we had 5 wild pigs in the driveway yesterday, and they knocked over the garbage can, and they look ferocious. It's a particular breed of wild pig that's connected to Sedona. And they're called, what are they called? They're called, they have a special name and I can't remember it, but they're ugly. So Terry went out and talked to them. And they went and they heard it together. And then the leader came up and he looked a little ferocious. So Terry decided to go in the house, but they walked off after that. They didn't mess with the garbage cans. So Terry was radiating, even Terry, from her third chakra, and got those pigs to go away. You know, it's why if you have fear, they say a dog will go after you. So this is like learning how to get that energy so strong that it radiates and nobody wants to mess with you. We go down to our genitals. And at this point, release any shame, any guilt, any way you have abused sexuality, and forgive anyone who has abused you, and learn that sexual expression is a free will expression that, to some extent, we all need, whether it's with another person or with opposite sex, there's no right way to do it, although committed relationships tend to work best. That's not always there. You have to work with things. One of the wisest things that I ever heard about relationships, sexual relationships, was if you're going to have interchange with someone, and for whatever reason, you're not going to be life partners, make sure you leave them better than you found them. In which case, you do not get karma. And if you go around hurting people, abusing people, You become responsible for the hurt that you created in others. And that's one of the reasons people have to come back in this realm to balance the hurt that they've created in other lifetimes. So it's a fine line to be able to gain the experience you need and be very aware of the ways that you hurt people so you don't create any new karma. And the same thing, it's probably better to be on the receiving end of hurt than the giving end of hurt, because if you're on the receiving end of hurt, all you need to do is, you're in control, you can forgive the other person and it's done. But if you're on the giving end of hurt, it's harder, because you can't take that hurt back from that person who you've hurt. We go through our legs, into our feet, and into the center of the earth. And we are now going to get a message from our sources through Terry. And Terry, you know, I muted you before. I can't hear you. And I'm looking for you so I can unmute you. And let me see here. If you do star 6, you can unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Oh, good work. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, because I was trying to let you know the name of the wild pigs were Javelina.
Javelina, thank you. No, I couldn't hear it. And were you using your third chakra, the power chakra? You weren't using it. It just was radiating, right? In your own way. Never mind. let me not distract you. Let me not distract you. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we're going to get a message from our sources through Terry right at this moment, hopefully.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to speak with you this Sunday, December 9th. We look through and at the earth plane, and we make contact with the consensus reality in the earth plane. And as so, we see the various times of the year where the individuals experience the joy of giving, the joy of connecting. The phone has dropped, so give us a moment. Now we are back. We see the joy of giving among the people, and it is a beautiful time of year, as this energy carries with it the beautiful vibrations of love and connection and desire to give and to be with each other. We connect with each and every person on the line who wishes to be connected with. We honor free will. So we only connect with each person who wishes that connection. We are taking a moment for this connection. We do not connect through the telephone lines, and we do not connect through the computer lines, the vibrations, the electrical grid. We do not connect through that, although we can extend our energies through that. When our energies add to that, it makes a channel of a certain frequency that does not connect, and it isolates our frequency, so we do not connect through those lines. We just connect directly with each and every one of you. We take a look at the world situation, and we see Japan in another fight. We see the various countries in the love fight, and we see the difficulties as different groups are having. This is raw on. We are a collective from the Elohim and from the Ra group. And we have joined to increase our frequency. We were chuckling when Wynn was talking of us as being invisible. For to us, we are very visible. We are at a very high frequency. It is a frequency that is not commonly sensed within your spectrum of visibility and availability of perception. We take a moment and we see Sandy in the light, the one who passed over last night. And we see that she is between worlds, still checking in periodically on her body and experiencing, on the other hand, the love and light of the higher realms. It takes a time, sometimes after individuals pass, to set their transition. And she is doing very well. And she is there. She does not know that she has passed in a real sense. However, there is a part of her that knows and is being contacted by the higher realms so that when she is ready, she may receive the guidance she needs to move into the higher realms and into the heavenly realm. we take a moment to send her steadiness and support. We see other things that people have put into the light. And we see that you are, as a group, listening and are learning about centering within your own self, so that the strength that you are, the source that you are, can help you to be and connect with guidance. We again look at this season of winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And as you move into the season of winter, the holidays bring people together. And this spirit of togetherness wafts through the space and alivens things and connects people. And if people allow themselves, they can feel the love. They can feel the love simply in the consensus reality, in the music. And for a moment, put the problems to the side, the sickness, the pain, and know that you are not the sickness, you are not the pains. You are much beyond that, and it is the body instrument that is carrying those. And as such, we send vibration of healing and alleviation of pain. We thank you for this sacred moment to be together. And we wish you a joyous season. Thank you.
Thank you. So now that we are in this moment of, we could call it sacred communion, for example, of connecting, and each of you has come here, not just for your own personal experience, but hopefully to use this moment of group connection, of expansion into those more refined realms, to learn how our group intentions can shift things in the physical realm. And different weeks I do different kinds of visualizations. And the visualization now is to imagine ourselves in this group energy, which we can't see. But we could imagine that we're projected through the veil, and there's this conglomerate of energies that are all touching each other, combining, interweaving, blending. And we have the support of our groups as part of that blending. And that we can direct that energy by our intentions. And we look down on Earth and we can see areas of darkness, areas of light, areas of fear. Of all the beings on Earth who are in their own little worlds, and each of them is creating the reality that they're experiencing. And many of those beings are very fixed in their realities. It's hard to penetrate them. But many more are open. They're looking for answers. They're looking for understandings. They're looking for something to believe in. Some of them are using spiritual disciplines, and they've managed to free themselves up to a certain degree, or even a great degree. Others are using religions. And even though there are many structures, constrictions in most religions, usually there's an element of truth that if the people find that element of truth, they start to make connection. When people go to church, gather in a group, that group energy helps to expand that group. Even if the belief patterns have limitations. And if people use the word God, God may not be how they envision God to be. Our sources use the word the one infinite creator, and that we are all part of the one infinite creator. And the one infinite creator is where time stops. And it's the beginning, the expansion of everything else. The Elohim, the Ra group, are all expansions of the one infinite creator. And when we call on God, since creation is God, those sources at the highest levels of creation can answer that call. Because they don't care about the name, they care about the intention, the purity of heart. And the ability for some reason just a moment. You know, Okay. All right. I think I fixed this here. Okay, I know. I know we're going out. I think I fixed it here. Hang on just a moment. The plug came out on my headset. It's okay now. Those sources will answer those calls. I mean, they answer the intent, purity of heart, and the reach. So let's surround our planet and project this energy around the planet so that we actually enliven the field of our entire planet. Well, let's just imagine we're doing that. We don't know that we're doing that, but let's think that we're actually doing that. And that those people that are reaching might feel a shift. And that their high selves, who can directly experience this, can give permission for their energies to join with ours. So what do we want to do with this huge energy that we're creating? First off, let's look at some of those areas of trouble spots in the world, like the Middle East. We see this energy surrounding the Middle East. And reaching those people who are ancient enemies, anciently polarized, and ask for bridges to be made between them. We see this energy surrounding those people who are leaders, heads of countries, opening them up to compassion and understanding that suffering is not just tribal. See, when a country has strong nationalism, it's tribal, and it doesn't take into consideration that the other country's suffering matters, or the other people's suffering matters. They say, only we matter, and that's separative. And every human on this planet is part of all that is. And every human, on some level, is our spiritual brother. We ask for the realization of this, of all those people who have separated from this experience and are operating from nationalism and from survival, and all those leaders who we ask that they can, for the highest good, honoring their free will, can have this perception. We ask for the light to be sent to all those who have suffered in the Middle East, all those souls that have passed as a result of aggressive and war actions and weapons of mass destruction. Michael had put freedom of speech, freedom of internet. It is so important because right now the internet is an equalizing force. The negative has the power. They have the money. They have the newspapers. They have the televisions. To a certain degree, they have the movies. They have the music. And people don't know they have it. But the internet allows the most powerful motivator, which is passion of people, to keep truth in motion. We just ask that that process continues and more people become aware of the real truth of what's going on this planet. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the internet.
All these tools of technology have allowed
me to put this out without needing millions of dollars, or even thousands of dollars. And many people are putting things on the internet and learn what's important to share with other people. Have the courage to even challenge your own belief systems, because some of you do have belief systems and you're holding on to them. This is not a matter of changing your belief system. It's a matter of allowing truth to penetrate and that your belief system doesn't block what's true. We see this light moving into Washington, D.C. and all those government structures where there could be compassion and care, all those congressmen, all of those executives, all the presidents, the president and the Supreme Court, and we just see this huge light of energy surrounding it all, that people have an additional option to choose love and care and compassion, as opposed to control and fear and deception. We ask this for every government of every country on this planet. And let's move to the earthquakes. And we start with the Ring of Fire, as we always do every Sunday, and we see this energy that we're projecting move from the tip of South America up the coast of South America, penetrating through the ground, surrounding every earthquake fault, asking that earthquakes be limited in intensity and away from population centers. We move up South America to Central America, the western coast, the western coast of Mexico, up the western coast of the United States, starting with San Diego, Los Angeles, Washington, Oregon, San Francisco. I'm going back and forth. we just see a huge beam of energy moving through and doing this up to Vancouver, up the western coast of Canada, across to southern Alaska, across to Russia, down the coast of Russia. Going through this fast because we're running out of time, to Indonesia, to Japan, to the protection of the country and the world from any potential radiation leaks from Fukushima, down through New Zealand, Philippines, Australia, Hawaii, and then we move over quickly to the New Madrid Fault. And we move over to the Mid-Atlantic Fault. And any place there's the potential for earthquake activity on our planet that could create devastation, tsunamis, we ask for the balancing of that. We ask for the protection. We ask that no nuclear weapons be allowed to go off. We ask that any artificial frequencies that are being projected to affect us have counter frequencies so they're ineffective. We ask for the transmutation of dangerous and toxic things in chemtrails to be transmuted. And we go back to each one of you in your home. I know Gina is saying, what about the whales and dolphins? Let's send the light to the whales and dolphins, the indigos, the light workers. And go back to yourself. And again, put your own issues in your mind and ask for support and help from the expanded part of yourself. Realize that you are incredibly important, and your ability to anchor these energies and hold them in your life can change the world around you, can change the people you care about. Don't worry what they think of you. Don't make them understand it. They don't have to agree. They don't have to know. Just learn to hold space, your own expanded space, so that you can be an expression of the divine in your life every moment.